Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you drive the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power, you can stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see yourself behind the wheel of the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Kia received the fewest reported problems among all brands in the J.D. Power 2022 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study based on 2019 models. See jdpower.com/awards for 2022 details.
Relax. Let the fact that you've woken up to a cold shower just wash over you. With British Gas Home Care Cover, you can get your boiler repaired again and again. And an annual service is included too. Repeat our mantra. Home Care.
Search British Gas Home Care Cover. See website for terms.
It's On the Ledge podcast with your host, Jane Perrone. Yes, that's me, and it's episode 80. This week, I'm talking to Mr. Plant Geek, that's Michael Perry, about what he's learnt from his travels in Asia. We'll be finding out how the Japanese mix houseplants and outdoor plants to spectacular effect, how much a 6-foot-tall adenium will cost you in Thailand, and why the auction site Taobao is the place to buy succulents in China. And I've got the most incredible reader question ever. I promise you this one will make your jaw drop, so stay tuned. Thanks to Doug, my new patron this week. He signed up at patreon.com to donate $5 a month to help On the Ledge keep going. And that gives him access to all the exclusive content on the Patreon feed for On the Ledge, plus sneak previews of what's coming up and lots more. If you think On the Ledge is worth just over $1.25 per episode, then why don't you subscribe too? Check out my show notes for details on how to do that. And if you're not up for a regular commitment, then you can always give a donation via ko-fi.com. Yes, you can buy me a coffee. Again, all the details in the website's show notes at janeperrone.com. I'm going to be jazzing up my Patreon in the coming weeks because I've got a new target to reach, which is raising some cash for setting up my new podcasting studio, which I told you about last week. So if there's any particular kind of reward you'd like to see offered on my Patreon feed, then do let me know. And coming up soon, I'll be talking to a Hoya expert and an African violet expert. So if you've got any questions about those specific plants that you would like answered in the show, then just let me know. It's at Jane Perrone on Twitter, j.l.perrone at Instagram, and you can just leave a message on my website. Let me know exactly what you want me to ask these experts, and it shall be done. Since last week's show, I've got my heated propagator up and running, which has got some Zamioculcus raven cuttings in it, warming up nicely, and I'll be starting some seed soon because the On the Ledge sew along is on its way. If you'd like some tips and tricks on where to buy some seeds, then do head along to Houseplant Fans of On the Ledge on Facebook, where these kind of things are discussed by our fanatical group of plant enthusiasts. It's a great place to be, guaranteed no drama, so please do join if you haven't already. Just remember to answer the questions, because I can't let you in unless you have answered all three questions. I can't emphasise that enough. And if you answer the third question by saying, I don't know, then you definitely won't get in. The third question asks, which is your favourite episode of On The Ledge? Just to check that you really are a fan of the show before you're allowed to join. Right, that's housekeeping out of the way, so now on with the interview. You may remember Michael Perry from episode 23 of On The Ledge. I thought I'd get him back on the show because he's been travelling around China, Japan and Thailand in the last few months and has some really interesting insights into houseplant culture there that I would love him to share with you guys. You may know Michael from his rather neatly trimmed beard, his awesome plant tattoos, or his regular appearances on the QVC shopping channel here in the UK. And I'll be asking him about that too. So settle back and let's hear more about Michael's incredible adventures.
Hello, I'm Michael Perry, also known as Mr. Plant Geek. I am crazy about plants ever since I was 5 years old. And I'm very lucky that I get to travel the world to discover new plants and also see how different people garden in different cultures.
Michael, you are the globe-trotting gardener. Every time I see you on social media, you're somewhere interesting in the world doing something amazing. Tell us about what you've been up to in the last few months and where you've been, because you've been all over the place.
I have. Where have I been? I've been in China, I've been in Thailand, I've been in Japan, and I'm very lucky to have various kind of pockets of work around the world. And also a partner that gets posted to different locations. So over the last couple of years, he's been working in New York. So I've been skipping across to America a lot. But now he's based in China. So then I get to stay in China, kind of living like a local, which is very different to when you just visit somewhere for a week and then come home. But also having that access to other Asian countries. So I've got some work in Japan. I've got some work myself in China. But I also took myself off to Thailand for the weekend to a big plant show as well. So yeah, I feel like I'm really seeing what people are doing with indoor and outdoor plants in Asia right now, which is super exciting.
That is so cool, because we don't really hear a lot about that over here in the UK and in North America. I think oftentimes we're quite insular, and it's, you know, when you go online and you look for information about houseplants, it's the same kind of 10 basic articles that you see floating about. And I really want to know about what's going on in China and Thailand and Japan. What houseplants are they growing? What things are they doing differently from us?
They seem to really appreciate plants, and you can tell that they've always incorporated plants into their indoor planting style. You see a hell of a lot of pothos in shops, clothes stores, electrical shops. You know, there's this kind of store on the high street with all sorts of appliances like washing machines, fridges, and on each one there's a pothos in a decorative pot, because obviously this is a plant that doesn't need much light, isn't fussy about its growing conditions, but the Chinese see that it's important to have there for the air purification, kind of having plants around them. So plants are always incorporated in some way, kind of very in that stage with the pothos, quite a boring plant, quite leafy plant. So you tend to see a lot of those. But you're also seeing a lot of succulents now. And there's a site called Taobao, which is like the eBay of China. And I've been buying plants for the apartment over in China, and I get addicted to Taobao because you can find anything you want on there. And the succulents you find on there are super colorful and just presented in these lovely decorative containers as well. I have to say, looking on Taobao, I see much more interesting decorative pots for plants than I do in Europe. And they seem to be a lot better value as well, because I guess in some ways you're getting them direct from the source. So I've been buying these lovely geometric containers, lovely kind of desktop planters as well. One other thing that's brilliant in China, especially in Shenzhen City, is there's a shop called It's a Wonderful Life. And this is a shop that is geared to kids. And it has this kind of kiddie play area. It's kind of decorated like a forest. And it has these beautiful little wooden toys of all different types, small ones, big ones. But it has a section of plants. And it's a section of plants that are decorated and kind of presented in these wooden toys. So this is a plant shop geared towards kids, which is incredible, because I can send you some pictures afterwards. There's a pencil holder, which is a little frog made of wood, which is absolutely beautiful. And it's got a space for a plant in the top. So they're selling this with a Haworthia ready for the kids' bedroom to go on their desk to help them study, encourage them. And they're really incorporating plants in the toys for kids, which is brilliant. And they've got fairy gardens as well. I actually brought back a bunch of them as presents for some of my friends here in Europe. So I brought back about 10 miniature plants, which only cost about £1.50 each. And they're in these tiny self-watering containers, tiny, tiny cactus. And they're just beautiful. And I brought them all the way from China via Poland to UK. So
are there any kind of spiritual associations with certain plants? So, you know, over here, we're always seeing, you know, lucky bamboo and things. Is that actually a genuine thing? Or is that just something we've kind of made up in the West?
Oh, no, there really isn't. The lucky tree, the patira.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one that's often got the plaited stem. You will see that a lot of times in, you know, people's apartments, and they bought that because it is good luck, you know, so that tends to be the kind of money tree equivalent that they use. But also they have a real kind of respect for plants that we are only just kind of gaining here, I believe, because like I said, the pothos is often in these different stores. You know, there's usually plants incorporated in some way in a home. You know, it's a consideration as much as it is, you know, having a chair in the corner of the room. So they do consider plants, which is so nice to see. And, you know, I've spent time inside a Chinese family's home and I've seen kind of this, you know, for real as well. Yeah, they appreciate them in more of a day-to-day way than perhaps we do quite yet.
You talked about this children's shop, but are there kind of boutique houseplant shops? Where are people mainly buying their houseplants in China?
Yeah, they tend to be not necessarily houseplant shops. In the florists tend to have a very good selection of houseplants in decorative containers and very often ones that they planted up themselves. There's one that I used to walk past most days when I was in China in the autumn, and I couldn't resist buying a plant nearly every other day because they just had these lovely trays of succulents and all of these lovely mixed containers. And very often there's quite unusual little things there as well, and they're relatively cheap. You're talking probably £2 for a small succulent, and I think the prices have gone way above that here in the UK now. The other thing I've seen a couple of times and actually bought from is a kind of cart that goes down the street. So a guy selling plants off a cart, so he's literally got this kind of wagon loaded up with plants and brings it past, and we kind of have a little bit of a browse and then buy a few. And it's really, yeah, it's kind of like a greengrocer for plants, isn't it?
That's my retirement plan. I'm going to buy, you know, like a, I don't know, a 2CV or something, 2CV van, and set off round the streets of the UK selling houseplants door to door. That sounds amazing.
They actually do that in New York. I don't know if you know Tula. Maybe you follow Tula House on Instagram.
No, I've not heard of that.
Yeah, a really great plant shop in Brooklyn. And they, during the summer, have a kind of van that they open the side of. It looks like an ice cream van, and they're selling plants out of it. Maybe look that up. You can get them.
I will do. That sounds amazing. Yeah, that's
really interesting one.
That sounds really great. And Thailand. Tell me about what you saw in Thailand. I'm always imagining that a lot of the houseplants that come that are bought in that part of the world come from Thailand. It seems to be a huge centre for houseplant breeding. What did you?
It's a real hotbed of kind of new houseplants, new breeding, and they kind of have more of a obsession with plants and different plants and variegated leaves. And yeah, it was, it's a flower show that I've been trying to go to for a couple of years. And I even had a ticket booked there a couple of seasons ago, but didn't get around to it. But I don't know what it's called actually. It's just called the King Rama Park Plant Fair. It was on in Bangkok. And obviously because I was just in China, it's only a 2-hour flight. So it's the same as jumping on a Ryanair flight to Rotterdam or Amsterdam, so super easy. Booked myself in, went to this plant show, and it was absolutely amazing. Honestly, the plants I saw there, I just can't even compute. I was just gasping, you know, at every stand, and I've got so many photos that I've barely even managed to go through or identify, because it's quite hard to identify some of these plants because they will call it their local name. And you know, not all of these regions necessarily use Latin. So you've got the local name in the Thai language, And there's quite a language barrier in these places as well. And of course, you could use Google Translate to talk to someone to order a coffee. But how do you talk to someone about a plant and the name of a plant on Google Translate? That doesn't work. So you kind of, you have this mutual appreciation that you're both plant geeks from very different cultures and languages. And just kind of smile sweetly at each other, you know. It's all very sweet. But, oh, my gosh, I'll obviously send you some of these pictures and send you the links to an article that I wrote on my website. But really, oh, where do I start? Water lilies in all of these lovely exotic blues, pinks, miniature ones for indoor growing as well. Adeniums, which is a plant that we don't grow much in the UK because it does need a very, very sunny windowsill. But in Thailand, they grow some of those that are very exotic with the double flowers, the denim colored ones, the black ones. And there was one there that was for sale, which was about 6 foot across, 6 foot up. So can you imagine this big, heavy rooted monster with these lovely desert rose flowers on in the bright, vivid pink. And it was, and I think it cost something like 200,000 baht, which is, I think about, oh, maybe 5,000 pounds, something like that. We'll have to really check that currency conversion. But it was, oh my God, it was a showpiece. It was amazing.
Wow.
What else? There was something that I saw a lot of, which, oh, I should have looked it up before to check what it is. But you know that plant, which is kind of a little bit like a fern, but it kind of has a leaf that, oh God, that trails and looks like a monkey puzzle tree. And it trails downwards.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, what is that called?
Hang on. I'm Googling. Does it begin with a D? James Wong's got some, and it's, the name's escaping me as well. I'll look it up afterwards. I'll insert.
It's a very cool plant.
The magic of editing.
Selling it there.
We'll come in.
Sorry?
I'll use the magic of editing to insert the name after the fact.
That's cool. But it's a very cool plant because it's obviously trailing. But they don't sell it in a hanging basket. They sell it in a pot, which has basically a hole in the bottom of the pot. So it's growing out of the centre of the pot. You know, we saw in the UK a few seasons ago these upside-down tomato containers?
Yeah.
They grow them in pots like that. Ooh. And I'm not too sure why. I wonder if they are quite happy being a little bit more wet at the roots, because, of course, you worry about drainage. But they seem to have developed this upside-down container to grow these in, which is really fantastic. Mm. And they're gorgeous plants. After that, thinking of orchids, cattleyas, lots of the golden rain orchids, you know, the yellow ones that are like chain links. Gorgeous ones of those. Oh, I could have bought so many things, but I just bought one plant to then take back to China, which was a hernia. You know, the like the stapelias with the little alien flowers. So I bought the one that looks the most like an alien. It cost me 20 baht, which is like way less than a pound. And I snuck it in my luggage and brought that back to China. So that was then potted up and joined the other 50 houseplants, which my partner is looking after for the next couple of months, and I'm sending him regular instructions on what to do. And, yeah, he's doing quite well so far.
Oh, that's excellent. And were there any, we're all obsessed with monsteras and philodendrons. Mm. Were there any sort of different monsteras that you saw there? Because I occasionally follow some Thai Instagram people, and there seem to be, many, many monstera Thai constellations. Was there anything else new that you saw in that line of aroids?
Well, not so many monsteras, but there was a lot of aroids around. I mean, there was a lot of foliage, but foliage was kind of, you know, occasional stalls. There was perhaps one in 20 of the stalls was pure foliage, but they're really looking at flowers in lots of different ways. And what they did have in foliage was the cadaeums, crotons.
Mm.
And yep. I'd never said this one out loud before. Aglaonema?
I always say aglaonema. Yeah. I don't know if that's right.
I've never said that out loud. and these were incredible. And they actually had almost, I think it was a mini flower show at the back of the plant market where people were showing their brand new breeds of cadaeums and aglaonemias and also caladiums as well. And of course, these are nice. Super colourful, and they've got very, very new varieties with multicolored foliage, and it was really fantastic.
It sounds like a dream scenario.
I know. There was also lots of euphorbia. What's the one that has the big flower? Millii?
Euphorbia millii, the really spiny one.
Yeah, and they've selected those to have less spines but bigger flowers and in different colours. So okay. It almost ends up looking like some busy lizzie. It's really amazing, and so many different types there. Oh, honestly, there was so much stuff there. Cactus, succulents, some very, very tiny cactus that were in tiny containers, and they were almost like in miniature. And I remember these very delicate plant labels that were written in the tiniest text as well. And I will show you a lot of these pictures because it really was the ultimate experience for a houseplant lover. It really was.
But was it a bit torturous, though, because you knew you couldn't actually have it all? You had to limit your purchases to one.
I know. So, like, in China, where I knew I could take the plants back to the apartment and grow them, and that was fine. I was then buying plants all the time, ordering off Taobao, buying from the local florists. But in Thailand, I knew that it would be difficult to buy anything, so I kind of switched my mind off to the fact that I might buy anything. So, yeah, obviously, I'm very sad I didn't get it, but I behaved myself. Otherwise, it would have been a nightmare. But I've got that one little plant that I brought back, the hernia. So hopefully that will give me a flower in the next year or so.
So that plant that neither of us could remember the name of? Well, my best guess is that it's the Lycopodium squarosum, or tassel fern, which we talked about back in episode 56 with James Wong. And that huge adenium? Yes, Michael's currency conversion was about right. 200,000 Thai baht equals about £4,800. That's $6,300. Well done, Michael. We'll hear more from Michael a little bit later, but now it's time for that jaw-dropping question of the week. I have never heard a question like this one before, but it came in on Twitter this week from Amy M, and I was so flummoxed that I really had to share this with you guys. So here goes. It all started off, unremarkable enough, a question from Amy about her plant. Her Dracaena had the top knocked off it in an accident, and she wanted to know whether it was going to regrow. That was fine. We answered that question fairly straightforwardly. But then she asked me about peace lilies. She writes, I have one in my living room, and for months I've been hearing a random hissing from it. I have a small one upstairs now, and the same thing. Did you ever experience that? And I responded, well, that's a new one on me. I can only imagine it's something living in your plant. Well, I asked a few more questions about how this was happening. Was it happening when the plant was being watered? But she says, no, just randomly. I'd be sitting watching TV and just hear the loud hiss and a branch shake. She has said that she's going to try to get this on video. And I'm so fascinated to know exactly what's going on here. She has said that she's found one other person who reports the same problem. So, what do we think, guys? Well, my first port of call was to post a message on Houseplant Fans of On the Ledge to see if you guys had any suggestions on there. And you had loads of suggestions from a snake, a gas leak, a radiator pipe burst, hearing aid on the blink. Mary reported that she had a colocasia that made a putting noise when she watered it. Maybe something to do with water in the plant or the soil. Yeah, lots of people reporting that when you water plants, particularly with those with a lot of pumice or similar in the soil, that they make some kind of noise, but not necessarily a hissing sound. And Anais reported that she had a plant that hissed at her once, and it turned out there was a small snake in the bottom container part of the self-watering pot. And Alyssa told me that she had a thyme plant that spent the summer outdoors, and when she brought it in, the cat would sit on top of it and inspect it for hours after I'd water it. I damped it out, and lo and behold, there was a sizable night crawler living inside the root ball. It was moving around every time I watered it, and the cat could hear it. I suspect something may be living in that person's pot. I just had to Google nightcrawler because I wasn't exactly sure what it is, but it's basically a type of large worm. So that could be a possibility. If you've got any suggestions for Ami, or indeed if you have a spathiphyllum that likes to hiss at you and shake its branches, I would love to hear from you and help Ami solve this problem. I have taken this one seriously, even though I had initial suspicions it was a wind-up, because Ami did seem very sincere. So who knows what's going on here? I would suggest that Ami certainly takes the plant out of the pot and has a really good examination of it to check there isn't anything living inside, because I really can't believe that it's actually the plant itself that's moving. That just doesn't sound logical to me. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about this one. And as ever, if you've got a mystery monstera, a calathea that's gone a little bit cray-cray, or a peperomia in need of some pampering, then do get in touch. The best way is to drop me a line at ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com with some pictures and details of what's gone wrong, and I will do my best to help. And now let's hear some more from Mr. Plant Geek, Michael Perry. I asked Michael to get his crystal ball out and figure out what trends from China, Japan and Thailand we were likely to see being transferred to the Western houseplant market in the next few months.
Some plants are obviously trendy there, but would be very difficult for us to grow. So, you know, crotons and caladiums are awful houseplants because they really need a lot of heat. They need that humidity. So it's a trend I would love to see here, but I don't think it would ever be practical. And of course, yeah, we can sell those, but, you know, people need to be able to grow them and to get success. So maybe not those. I think a lot of the cactus, the very colorful succulents, the very pastel-coloured succulents, like I say, are very popular in China right now. Thinking of Japan, because I was there for a couple of weeks at Barakura Gardening School back in September, and something they tend to do, and I think they've done it for many years, but it seems new to us, is the mixing of houseplants with outdoor plants. So they will have a hanging basket which has got, you know, Alyssum, Lobularia, it's got Busy Lizzies, it's got Marigolds, but it's also got a dressing of Tradescantia or Chlorophytum, spider plant, which is that great marriage of indoor and outdoor, because of course, you know, a lot of our houseplants can be used outside in the summer. Why not jazz that up and use them as a bedding plant or a patio plant? You know, because it gives you that extra foliage in a very different shade. And, you know, spider plants look fantastic in hanging baskets outside, you know, mixed with some bright scarlet red Busy Lizzies, you know. So I kind of learnt that kind of blending trend in Japan, I would say. I think in Thailand really was about the exotics and the exotics that we could try and grow and those plants that we would lust after, but probably only get in small quantities. And China, the thing that really stands out from China is the different coloured succulents on Taobao, but also the range of containers, because I don't always feel like we get access to the nicest outer containers here in Europe. You know, there's a lot of really funky designs there. They've got, again, I'll send you some pictures of this, but almost like room dividers, which you can plant plants in. You know, almost like you see in a library, you know, which is a divider which has got plants planted in the top. But they've got some really lovely contemporary designs with that very lovely modern style. And like I said, geometric planters. So much different kind of styling that they've kind of seen maybe in Europe and then copied it and almost kind of, you know, turned it up and made it a little bit better. So yeah, that would be my hot shots from Asia.
Let's also have a little chat about your role at QVC. I've never really bought anything from QVC. It's a shopping channel on the telly, isn't it? That's basic. And you have this amazing show. You've taken over from the gardening legend Richard Jackson, I believe. And tell me about what you actually do on this show. Presumably it's more than just saying, here's a pot, it's $5.99. Presumably you're actually offering gardening tips and info. How does it work? And what's your kind of audience like?
Well, it's really fun. And obviously I've started that last season, more intensively this season. And I'm bringing in quite a new audience to that. The audience that was traditionally, you know, you're kind of 55 to 65, predominantly female gardeners. But we're bringing in a very new audience with a range of interesting products and a bit of extra kind of how-to as well. So when you think of the concept of QVC, you know, some people might think it's a little bit cheesy, but what it actually gives you is an opportunity to sell a specialist plant with 4 minutes of live narrative or even more, which is a lot more than you get in the garden center off the label. So we can really explain the plant, talk about where it could be used, maybe give you a bit of a story, the history behind it, also give you those first-hand tips for getting the best out of the plant. And of course, the show is, you know, neatly curated with customer favorites, brand new items, tools as well. So tools that can help make gardening easier, garden decorations, kind of garden jewelry, which may or may not be to your taste. But of course, everyone gardens in a very different way. Some people say to me sometimes, it's like, oh my God, those things you had on at the weekend were awful. But like, I can appreciate, and you know, I appreciate I don't have to like everything that I'm selling, because I appreciate that my style might be different to a viewer's style, or, you know,
totally.
So it's very,
yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, mature enough to realize that. And we're also trying to add more and more gardening tips to make it a more rounded show. But of course, at the end of the day, it is a selling show. So that editorial is then still geared to recommending a product to you. But of course, that product is something that would make gardening easier for you, or something that we would recommend.
Have you ever like been walking down, you know, high street somewhere in the UK and had someone go, it's Michael Perry! Oh my God!
No, you're the first.
Oh, good. I was like,
maybe a couple of times. But to be honest, in the UK, I really noticed that people are always very like kind of shy, reserved. They're probably more likely send you a message afterwards and say, oh, I saw you in Tesco today, you know, in a kind of semi-stalky way. But I always noticed the difference in America, because I did a couple of seasons on HSN TV channel there. And when I went along to like trade show in the summer, everyone was like, you're the guy off Doodar. And they kind of run up to me and talk to me. And I don't think I got recognized more in America, but people were just more upfront about it and more confident to that. Say hello. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's kind of, that's the difference. But, you know, it's a very, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens on QVC. It's a very transactional show. Whether you then meet someone in the street that recognizes you from it, it's quite, to me, it's quite a slim chance, you know. But, yeah. I don't know.
And I guess it's not an avenue that I've ever really thought about. But that's interesting that, you know, that's another avenue where people are buying plants. So, you know, going back to what you were saying about Taobao and eBay, you know, that's really come forward as a way that people buy plants. Also, things like Etsy. It's constantly changing, isn't it? The way that people are getting hold of plants these days is evolving, you know. And it really does impact on the
kind of
things that people are looking for. You know, we now know what is happening in Thailand to some extent through social media. And so people are saying, yes, I want that unusual Chinese evergreen. I want that unusual monstera. And I'm going to do everything I can to get hold of it. Whereas I think in the past, we were kind of in the hands of the growers kind of saying, you're going to have this, which can only be a good thing, although it is deeply frustrating for those of us who then desperately want that, you know, that aglaonema with the camouflage type variegation called Pictum. Everyone wants that. And where do you get it? You can't get it. So, yes, it can be frustrating. But I think at the end, that kind of pressure coming from UK and other growers will force nurseries to actually sort of start propagating these things. I guess the problem happens when, you know, something becomes really trendy, like the Chinese money plant, and then nurseries spend a long time propagating it, and then the market's flooded, as it kind of is now with that plant, you know, everywhere. The price has dropped.
I guess you get that with all types of plants from time to time, but it is. But I mean, you go to some trade shows the same as I do, and it's great to see at those trade shows that they really have picked up on the trend. You know, maybe a little bit too late for some, but, you know, you'd see with these, there's a couple of great suppliers I know, like Profit Plant. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're a great wholesaler, and they've got some amazingly new house plants. And it was with them that I first saw the raindrop peperomia as well, you know, the kind of bigger brother of the pancake plant. And it's just, it's brilliant that they've really got their finger on the pulse of some of that stuff and responding to the market.
Is there anything else exciting you've got coming up that you want to tell us about?
Oh, loads of things all the time. I've got a really, really packed diary, which I've just been looking at in the last few minutes. It was packed all the way up to May. So, yeah, I've got some really wow. cool projects going on. One that I might chat to you about soon, actually, but off air.
Intriguing.
And, yeah, just kind of really continuing to be an ambassador for plants and gardening and just getting people to have a go and not be scared of plants. And even if you experiment with a plant and it dies or it goes a little bit wrong, then it's not always about you. You know, people always take it very personally, but plants are living creatures. You know, they're not necessarily going to perform the way that we want them to. So just be patient with yourself and just have fun with it. And no one out there is judging you, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think we're very harsh on ourselves when things go wrong. But, you know, really, I think most people are just a lot of people are impressed if you can keep a plant alive for, a month. You know, it's one of those things where you've got to kind of give yourself a break sometimes and say, OK, it's gone wrong.
But I do find it strange the way that people word looking after houseplants as keeping them alive. But that already to me is a very negative way of approaching it, like keeping it alive. It's like this kind of desperate kind of, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But actually just kind of like helping it to live or kind of caring for it would be a much calmer way of approaching it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a battle. I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear
yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah. It always feels like, oh, my gosh, it's the end of the world. It's going to die. You know, but actually just relax.
That's another On The Ledge podcast done and dusted. I'll be back next Friday with more fun and frolics in the world of houseplanty stuff. I hope you enjoyed this week's show, and if you did, why not think about telling a friend about On The Ledge or maybe leaving me a review on your pod app of choice. Whatever this week brings, I hope that all of your peace lilies remain peaceful and no hissing is involved. Take care, guys. Bye. The music you heard in this week's episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, Whistling Rufus by the Heftone Banjo Orchestra, and Overthrown by Josh Woodward, all licensed under Creative Commons. See my website, janeperrone.com, for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.